What?
It was like dates also. It was good dates.
Dates? Israeli dates they have in Costco? Oh, okay. I had a maisa last night. I could give a whole separate share on this maisa. Maybe we will one day. Remember we did the sugya on Davav and Aleph. We did the sugya if you have Eide Kiddush about being miyachid Eide Kiddushin. Right? They designated Eidim, it was other Eidim. So I mentioned in the shir, I think it was one of the shirim I gave at Landers. I just mentioned a maisa with Rabbi Marcus or something, that if your first, who are Pasul Eidim, and I mentioned that your first cousin's husband is a Psul Daraisa, is a Pasul Eid for you. So I got a call last night from a guy in Ontario, Canada, and he said, you mentioned in Ashir that your first cousin's husband is a Pasul Eid. He said, well, I got married 11 years ago, my wife and I have 5 children, and I asked my Misar Kiddushin when I got married if my first cousin's husband could be an aid. And he said, yeah, as long as it's not a blood relative, it's fine. So my first cousin's husband was an aid on our ksuba and an aid in the Kiddushin. I'm like, freaking out. Like, that's terrible. I mean, that's really bad news. So he's like, should I tell my wife? I'm like, you mean the lady you've been living with for 11 years? <You know? laughs> Who's probably not your wife if there was no Kiddushin. So we worked it out. We got the Minuksuba, and it turned out probably she was Mukadesh's based on a number of other factors. I don't know, it was just like crazy, crazy evening last night trying to figure all that out. Shechter, Willig, everyone got involved in trying to work through what to do for them. Leibdik, but it all comes from Malkus, you know. A lot of these, it's a sugi Malkus davav amenal. Davav amenal, the zayin amenal, being miyachir edim, whether being miyachir edim makes it worse, makes it better. It's all right here. So if you're sticking around. So the so today I want to do though a different topic, probably a little less halacha l'maisa, although it also relates a little bit to halacha l'maisa. And daf yiral amenal, the Gemara discusses. The Gemara just happens to mention three different machlokos between Rabbi Yehuda and someone else. The first machlokas has to do with an ir miklat. That's what it's doing in the second parak of Makos. Because the first machlokas is about an ir miklat, why it is that that the parshas Rotzchim is written b'loshon kasha. It's written in a loshon of a yidaber instead of vayomer. Vayidaber is a harsher loshon. But then the second machlokas, the Gemara says in Dafir Aleph Amar Aleph, the Gemara tells us that there is a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, in the 24th parak of Sefer Yehoshua, pasuk says, "Vayichtov Yehoshua es hadvarim ha'ele b'sefer Toras Elokim." Yehoshua wrote these words in the Sefer Toras Elokim. What book is the Sefer Toras Elokim? What book is that? Sounds like Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Yehoshua wrote these words in the Sefer Toras Elokim. Says the Gemara, machlokes what that means. Machlokes are done someone else. Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Nechemia, Chad Omer, Shmona Psukim. One opinion says, yeah, Yehoshua did write Psukim in Chumash. He wrote the last 8 Psukim of Chumash. Those were written by Yehoshua, they were written by Joshua, not by Moses. V'chad Omer, Are Miklat. And the other one says that, no, it's a reference to Are Miklat, that's what Yehoshua wrote in the Sefer Toras Elokim. Now, what does it mean, Are Miklat? So says Omer, Bishlam, Mad Yom Ches Psukim, Ayin Duch Sefer Toras Elokim. I understand if you say that Yehoshua wrote the last 8 psukim, that's actually in the Chumash. El Madiyam Ari Miklat might be Sefer Torah Selkim, but if he wrote Ari Miklat, doesn't mean he wrote Ari Miklat, it means he designated the last 3 Ari Miklat. Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime designated 3 of the Ari Miklat in the Eivar HaYarden. Moshe Rabbeinu never made it into Eretz Yisrael proper, so when Yehoshua went in, he had to designate the other 3, and when Yehoshua designated his 3, Moshe Rabbeinu started to operate as Ari Miklat as well. But what does that do with writing anything with Sefer Torah Selkim? Says, Mara Hachikamar, V'yichtov Yehoshua b'sifros ha'dvar me'ela haksuv in b'sefer Torah Selkim. That Yehoshua wrote in his Sefer, what's Yehoshua's Sefer? You guessed it, Sefer Yehoshua, that which is already alluded to in Sefer Torah Selkim about the Ari Miklat. So two opinions. Either Yehoshua wrote some details about Ari Miklat, or Yehoshua wrote 8 psukim in Chumash. Now that's the what I wanted to focus on, that other opinion, that Yehoshua wrote 8 psukim in Chumash. What's the problem with saying that Yehoshua wrote 8 psukim in Chumash? Any problem with that? Everyone totally ashkafically fine with that? What? We have to believe that one of the Ikari Amunas, that Moshe, the exact Torah that we have, is exactly what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu mipi HaGevura. You're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the last 8 Pesukim in the Torah? That sounds like apikorsus. So it sounds like a real problem. to say that Yoshua wrote the last eight Pesukim in the Torah. On the other hand, if you actually look at the last eight Pesukim in the Torah, we have a problem saying Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it as well. Because eight Pesukim before the Torah ends, the Torah says in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, Perek Lamed Dalet Pasuk Hei, Vayamas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So we have a problem if we're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote those last eight Pesukim. That's eight Pesukim before the end of the Torah. Why is the problem saying Moshe Rabbeinu wrote those Pesukim? It says that Moshe died. So what? So Moshe wrote it. Moshe wrote, he knew that he was going to die. God told him, you're going to die, you're not going to make it. So why is that a problem saying that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that he died? What's the problem with that? What? Yeah, so? Meaning it's saying that he died already. So maybe he's just foreshadowing that he's going to die. Yeah, but then he's lying, because it's not true yet. And Moshe emes v'saraso emes. We have to believe Moshe was telling us the truth. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu write Vayam Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem if he was still alive? And if he was dead, how could he write? Dead people can't write. So what's going on over here? So that's the motivation to say that Yoshua wrote these last eight Pesukim. It can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, because that person can't write. So what's going on with these last eight Pesukim? The primary sugya of what to do with the last eight Pesukim in the Torah is the sugya Maseches Basra and Maseches Menachos. Same Gemara appears in both places. If you look in source number one in the packets that you have in front of you, the Gemara in Basra, Daf Tes Vav HaMeral, deals with this. D'Tanya, Vayamas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. It says that Moshe died. Efshar Moshe, two different gersos over here. See the girsa? It's either we're asking Efshar Moshe Chai because of Vayamas Shom Moshe. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was alive and wrote Vayamas Shom Moshe? That's a problem, because that would mean Moshe was lying. The other girsa is Efshar Moshe Mace because of Vayamas Shom Moshe. Could it be that Moshe was dead and wrote Vayamas Shom Moshe? That's a kasha, because dead people can't write. So whichever way you say it, whichever way you want the gear, so you got a problem. You have a problem with the Vayam Hashem Moshe. Ela adkan kosav Moshe mikan ve'elach kosav Yoshua. Moshe wrote up until this point, and after that Yoshua wrote it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that works out very well, because in our Gemara as well we said that it was Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemia, Chad Amar Shmona Pesukim, that Yoshua wrote the last eight Pesukim. That would be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemia must be the one that said that when it says that Yoshua wrote something to Sefer Torah Selkim, it was about the Ari Miklat. Because Rabbi Nechemia holds Yoshua didn't write the last day Pesukim. It was Rabbi Yeshua that holds that they... it was Rabbi Yehuda, rather, that holds that he wrote the last eight Pesukim. I'm sorry. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda va'amri la Rabbi Nechemia. I mean, it's two deos in the Gemara, whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemia. What are those two deos? Those two deos are who the Chad Omar and Chad Omar are in our Gemara. That's why our Gemara is not sure who the Chad Omar and Chad Omar are. We have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, same two Tanaim. One of them says that that Yoshua wrote the last eight Pesukim. We don't know which one, so that's why the Gemara says, yeah, it could be either one of them. We don't know. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, I have a problem with that. Efshar Sefer Torah chasar al sa'achas. Could it be that a Sefer Torah is missing a single letter? You're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the whole thing. Uksiv l'koch ha-Sefer Torah hazeh. It says that you take this Sefer Torah, meaning the whole book was given by Moshe. Ella ad kana kodesh baruch hu omer Moshe omer v'kosev. So says Rabbi Shimon, I have a different solution. Up until the last eight Pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say the Torah, Moshe would say the Torah and write it. Mikan ve'elach, after that, meaning during the last eight Pesukim, the way it worked was HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer, Hashem would say the Torah, u'Moshe kosev bedema. And Moshe wrote it bedema, with tears, pashut shot. That's what made the last eight Pesukim different. So what made them different? Two things. First of all, the last eight Pesukim were not repeated by Moshe. He didn't say them. And second of all, when he wrote them bedema. What's the problem with that explanation? And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it without saying it, but he wrote it, and he wrote it with tears. What's the problem with that? Why do we have an issue over here in the first place with just saying Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it normally? What's the problem with saying Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it normally? It's a lie. Isn't it a lie even if he writes it bedema? Isn't it a lie even if he doesn't say it and he just writes it? Are you allowed to write a lie? You're not allowed to write lies either. So what's going on over here? So it's very difficult to understand what Rabbi Shimon means. It happens to be this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated everything that Hashem said, that Hashem told him the psukim, and that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated what Hashem said. Tosfos and Menachos points out that we learn a halacha from here. If you look in source number 2, Moshe Kosev, Yesh Torah Degarsi Moshe Omer V'Kosev, V'chumri Hi L'Kosve Sefer Torah Muzuzu Tfilin, Afgav D'Maisi Raya Mi Baruch Shema Gam Hu Haya Osakein. This is something that people are machmir when they write Sefer Torah Tfilin Muzuzu, and people who write Stam, that they say the words as they're writing it. Why? Where did they get the idea to say the words as they're writing it? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole rest of the Torah, except for the last day Pesukim, and would say every word as he was writing it. So you have to verbalize words, and what's we pass? Shulchan Aruch, Yerdes, and Reishai and Dalud, Vitzaruch, Sheikra, Kol Teva, Bepiv, Kodem, Sheikh, Tevena. You have to read every word, you have to say every word with your mouth before you write it down. That's what we pass in La Halacha.
Also not have to say the last day Pesukim.
So maybe when the Sofer is writing the last day Pesukim, he doesn't have to say it, because he doesn't have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Magen Avraham in Siman Lamed Beis writes that when in Hilchos Tefillin, that it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that when you write Mitoch HaKsav, if you're copying existing parshios and you're writing them over, you don't need to read every word. And he says V'tzorach Iyun, because in Yerodeh it sounds like you always have to read every word of the Tefillin. So that's a discussion that the Magen Avraham has. But this is we derive an actual halacha from this idea that Moshe was Omer V'kosev, that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated everything and then wrote it. Now,
do you say every letter, like as he writes it, or just as when he completes the word?
I think you'd say the word and then write the whole word. I don't think it's every letter as he writes it. I think it's the word. Now, according to... Then the Gemara concludes in Masech Baba Basra over there that the Gemara concludes that who does the following opinion hold like? That the last eight psukim in the Torah are read by a yachid. It sounds like it's against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that the last eight psukim were not written by Yehoshua. So why should it be Yachid Koreosan? So as the Gemara says, no, if you look at Rabbi Shimon, we could even say it's going like Rabbi Shimon, whole Vishtanu Ishtanu. Since the last eight psukim are different in some way, so therefore Yachid can't read them. So when you see that Gemara, there's so much that's confusing in that Gemara. There's more questions that Gemara raises than it answers. First of all, what's Rabbi Shimon solving when he says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat everything and that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Bedema? Second of all, what does Bedema even mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu wrote with Dema. What is with Dema? With tears? Well, we care about Moshe Rabbeinu's mood when he's writing each pasuk in the Torah. When was he happy? When was he sad? When was he angry? I don't know. Why does that matter in terms of the Torah? Third, what does it even mean when we say that Yachid Koreosan? That the last eight psukim are read by a yachid, as opposed to what? Does that mean in Kriyas HaTorah, when you're laying it in shul, you have one person read it? What do we normally have? Don't we always have one person read it? What exactly does yachid koreosan mean when we say it at the end of the Gemara? And whatever it means, why does the Gemara have a havamina that it makes sense for yachid koreosan if Yoshua wrote those psukim, but yachid koreosan would make less sense if Moshe wrote those psukim? And then the Gemara finally concludes, it makes sense even if Moshe wrote it, because once it's different than the rest of the Torah, you have to have Yachid Koreosan. What does that mean? What does Yachid Koreosan mean? So all of these are issues that are dealt with by Rishonim and Achronim. So first, let's try to work through the different ways to understand how the last eight psukim were written, according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda / Rabbi Nechemia, no problem. We know how it was written. It was written with regular ink, with a regular quill, just by Yehoshua's hand and not by Moshe's hand. It was written by a different author, by a different person serving as the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write the last eight psukim. So that's easy enough to understand. It would also, by the way, emerge that according to Rabbi Yehuda / Rabbi Nechemia, that Yehoshua wrote those psukim, it would turn out that those psukim l'chora should be on a lower level than the rest of Torah. They shouldn't be as chashuv as the rest of Torah, because they weren't written by as chashuv a person. They weren't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. They were given to us by Yehoshua. One of the Ikare Amunah was that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was on a level beyond those of any beyond the Nevuah of any other Navi. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw, the Rambam explains, Moshe Rabbeinu saw his Nevuah bas baklariyah hami'ira, that he saw things with the utmost clarity. Whereas the other Nevi'im didn't really see things bas baklariyah hami'ira. They saw visions, they saw pictures of things, and they had to interpret whatever visions they saw. It's interesting, one of the other differences Rambam points out is that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be fully conscious and awake while he got his Nevuos. Other Nevi'im had to be in a trance, they had to be in a state of sleep when they got their Nevuos. Chavis Yara writes in the Tshuva, you ever learn through Machlokos in Shas and Rishonim, and you find that sometimes Chazal and Rishonim were just really mean to each other. They said such nasty things to each other sometimes. Like you'll find an expression in the Gemara, Kinayim v'shachiv amar la hashmaita. Like, you must have said this when you were sleeping, because it's ridiculous. So the Chavis Yara says, but isn't there a Nisra of Anas Devarim that you're not allowed to say mean things? So why are they always so mean to each other? So Chavis Yara says, no, you misunderstand. Every single time it says something that sounds mean, it's really a compliment. So he says, Kinayim v'shachiv amar la hashmaita means you must be a Navi. You must have gotten this in a state of trance, in a state of sleeping. So it must have been a Nevuah because it doesn't make any logical sense, so you must have gotten it as a Nevuah. So it's really a compliment that, wow, you must be a Navi if you're able to say something that doesn't make any logical sense. But it was really a compliment, it wasn't a... Only Moshe Rabbeinu would get things in a state of being awake. I don't know. First of all, it still sounds like an insult to me. But second of all, I don't know if that's what that's the Pasha Pshad and what Kinayim V'shachiv means. But one of the other differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im is Asbaklari Amira. Moshe Rabbeinu saw things with the utmost clarity. Why is that so critical, that Moshe saw things with the utmost clarity and that there be no human interpretation whatsoever to what Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us? Because if it's subject to human interpretation and every human being is flawed, then... When Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah through his Nevuah, one might say that, oh, okay, maybe he made a mistake here and there. And that could be a problem. The Nevuah that gave us the Torah had to be perfect because the Torah has to be perfect. We can't entertain the possibility that the Nevuah that gave us the Torah was anything less than perfectly clear. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah that gave us the Torah had to be perfect. Now, there were Nevuahs in Moshe Rabbeinu's life at certain stages in his life where maybe he wasn't yet at the stage of Asbaklari Ami'ira, or maybe early on in his career, where he was getting the Nevuos, Petoras Navi, not Petoras the Mekabalah Torah. As a Mekabalah Torah, it had to be Asbaklari Ami'ira, it had to be with the utmost clarity. That's what the Maril Diskin explains, Rav Shach quotes in Avi Ezri, from the Maril Diskin, that he said, you know, people asked the Kasha, what was the big Nisayon of the Akedah? God told Avram, you have to shecht your son. If God tells you that you have to do something, if God tells you this is what has to be done, and God came to you, God could turn the whole world the so vavo in an instant. So you're not going to listen to God? Who wouldn't listen to God in that circumstance? So says Maral Diskin, you have to realize Avram wasn't Moshe. He didn't have the Nevuah of Asbaklari Ami'ira. Avram saw things with a vision, the way Nevi'im see things. And he had to interpret that vision. Can you imagine the integrity it takes to want to interpret the vision properly and not say it means something else and be metareitz, oh, probably what God meant was this or that or the other thing. But to have the integrity to interpret it properly, that this is actually what God's asking, that was the nisayon. To interpret it even though you're not seeing it with the utmost clarity. That was the nisayon of Avram Avinu. Because it's only Moshe Rabbeinu who got things by Asbaklari Ami'ira. Because of that, because Moshe Rabbeinu got things, it's also a fundamental difference between the Nevuah that we see in the words of the Navi and the words of Chumash. The words of Navi are the Navi's description of the vision that he got. The Navi saw the vision and he put it into his own words. That's the words of Navi that we have. The words of Torah are not Moshe's description of a vision that he saw. They are dictated word for word by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. They are the actual Dvar Hashem. Navi is an expression of the Das Hashem, or the Ratzon Hashem, or whatever Hashem was trying to, whatever message Hashem was trying to give. But it's the words of the Navi. Torah is the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, that if, let's say, you're sitting somewhere one day and you're bored, you have nothing to do, and you're just in a shul somewhere and you don't know how to learn, but there's a chumash there, is there any value in just open up the chumash, just reading it? He says chumash, yes. Navi, no. If you're not going to know what it says by Navi, there's no value in it, because the words aren't what's kadosh. The words are just the Navi's words. The ideas are God's ideas, but it's put into the Navi's words. Chumash, you can just read the psukim. The words themselves are precious when it comes to chumash. That's why we have a concept in chumash, Eina mikra yotzi midei pshuta. That in chumash specifically, the pasha pshat always has to be correct. So the Rambam writes in one place, the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yimos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchios Bilvad. There's no difference between this world and Yimos HaMashiach in terms of the way nature works. The Yimos HaMashiach is going to be exactly the same. People are going to be poor and rich and sick and healthy and all sorts of issues and problems and everything, except there's going to be peace in Israel. There's not going to be anyone attacking us anymore. That's the only difference. Shibud Malchios. And he says, but it says of Garza Avim Keves in the Navi, it says that the wolf and the lamb are gonna live together in peace, and the wolf is not gonna attack the lamb. Says the Rambam, all of those psukim are divrei mashal. It's all an allegory. You know what it means? The wolf and the lamb are gonna live together? It means that Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, who are the lamb, are going to be able to live at peace with all of its friendly neighbors who are the wolf. But it doesn't mean that a wolf and a lamb are going to be able to live together. Nature stays the same. Says the Ravid on the spot. But it says in Torah, I'm going to get rid of all evil animals, of all wild beasts from the land. So how can you say that it's all allegory? It says in the Torah, Vishpati Chayram in Aretz. So all the Acharim ask, Ravid, what kind of kasha is that? The Ram just got through saying, the wolf and the lamb, it's all allegory. So it's so hard to imagine what the allegory would be if it's saying that I'm going to get rid of all the wild beasts. What does it mean? All the Nazis are going to be gone, and the Hamas is going to be gone, and the wild beasts, the people that act like wild beasts, are going to be gone. That's all it means. Who says that what's so hard? What's the Ravid asking? So Reuven Margolius explains, no, what the Ravid's asking is, you can explain all the Pesukim in Navi as much as you want, that it's all allegory. That's fine. Because that's what Navi is. Navi is a vision, and the Navi puts the vision into his words, and it could all be allegory. But Chumash are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chumash, you can't just say, is allegory. Chumash are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every word has to have pshuto shel mikra and deeper meanings. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose every word. The Ravid doesn't say, I valo nemar valo ksiv ishpati chai rabin arts. The Ravid is very careful in his lashon. He says, how can you, Rambam, say that everything is allegory? Vahalo batora ksiv vishpati chai rabin arts. And Shiras Hazinu vishpati chai rabin arts. It's in the Torah. Can't say that's allegory. Torah is fundamentally different. Why am I telling you all this? Because if you're going to say that Yeshua wrote the last eight pesukim of the Torah, you're essentially acknowledging that the last eight pesukim of the Torah are not Baspaklari Ami'ira. Because the only one that was Zochat Baspaklari Ami'ira was Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua didn't get that kind of Nevuah Baspaklari Ami'ira. So that's very, very troubling to say such a thing. That the last eight pesukim were not with the utmost clarity like Moshe Rabbeinu would have received them. And that's very, very difficult. In that piece in Avi Ezri, Rav Shach Chutz from Meryl Diske, that the only other person that got Aspaklari Meira was Bilam. That Bilam, that B'Yisrael, lo kam B'Yisrael k'moshe od, av b'mus ha'olam, come. But Bilam, he got that same clarity. But it was for opposite reasons, Meryl Diskin explains. He says, the way to understand Nevuah, Meryl Diskin says, like, imagine light coming through a window. Right? So you look at the windows in front of the room, and light comes through those windows, but those windows are stained with colors, and so the light's not pure, it's not pristine, it's not... So when the light comes through, it'll come through with a little orange, with a little green, with a little blue, and we'll have to interpret and figure out what the light really looks like on the outside. We could tell that there's light, we see that it's coming through, but it involves a little bit of imagination to picture what the light looked like at first. You have this window, though, this giant window over here is perfectly clear. It doesn't take much imagination. I know exactly what the scene looks like outside when I look through this window. So he says, when Nevuah comes through the Navi, it goes through his neshama. So when it goes through the neshama of a person, no one's neshama is perfect. Every neshama taints it a little bit. It's like a window that taints the Nevuah a little bit. So your window may be painted a little orange, a little green, a little blue. And when the light comes through, you can tell that the light is coming through, and you see that it's there, but it involves a little interpretation to figure out what it looks like on the other side. But Moshe Rabbeinu has such a pristine neshama. It was so clear, it was so perfect. When the light comes through, it comes through perfectly. And he's able to see it with utmost clarity. As opposed to Bilam, also got us Paklari Amira, but why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Bilam Nevuah. But if he sends it through the normal channel, right through the neshama, nothing would come through. His neshama was so black, it was so darkened, it was so... No light would have gone through, wasn't translucent at all. So the only way for Bilam to get a Nevuah was to take the window away entirely. And to just give him direct exposure to the light. And that's the only way he was able to see it. So that's how the Meral Diskin explains. But it's very troubling. It's just this is something that it's bothersome that Yeshua would write the last eight psukim. That's one sheet in Tanayim that Yeshua wrote the last eight psukim. Yeah.
The Rav said that you can't use an allegory or a mashal in the Torah. You have to take it at the face value.
Right. Right.
So in the case when the Torah says Ayom Hashem Avram, Ayom, you're saying how can we say that? It's like Avram saw it through an allegory, through images when he says.
Yeah, Vayomer, what you have to say is that's what the word Vayomer means. That Vayomer means to communicate to somebody.
Doesn't mean to actually speak.
Yeah, maybe not in words. Yeah.
That's why I guess Torah uses Vayidavit, Red Moshe, a lot more than Vayomer.
The Rashi and Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was different than all the other Nevi'im because Moshe Rabbeinu was Masnavei B'Zeh HaDavar, whereas other Nevi'im don't use the term Zeh HaDavar. Not Vayidavar, Zeh HaDavar. What's Zeh HaDavar? The word Zeh always connotes being Mora Be'etzpa. They were able to point with the finger and say, this. You ever wonder why the minig is when they do Hagbah, people say V'Zos HaTorah and point with their fingers to the Torah. Why do they point? Where does the pointing come from? So I always thought that once you're saying the word v'zos haTorah, so v'zos always means to be more be'atzpa. That you could point it, it's as if it's right in front of you. What does it say in Chumash, in the Shira Sazim, in the Shira Sayam? Ze keli va'anvehu. That Klal Yisrael looked at the miracles, at the Yamsuf, and they said, ze keli va'anvehu. Says Rashi on Chumash, Ras ha'shivcha layam mashalora anavim b'nevoasam. The Shivcha Layam was able to see things that the Nevi'im couldn't see. Why? Well, how do we see that they're able to see things that the Nevi'im couldn't see? Because the Shivcha Layam was able to say, Zeh Keli. Zeh means Mor Be'etzpa, it's right in front of me. The Nevi'im couldn't see it right in front of them. They didn't get that vision of Zeh Keli. But the Shivcha Layam got that vision. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Zeh HaDavar is probably related to that. That he was able to see with utmost clarity as if it was right there, as if it was right in front of him. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's Zeh HaDavar. Absolutely, it's not brought down in halacha anywhere that you should point. Certainly, out the pinky doesn't say anywhere by Hagbah. What it says in Shulchan Aruch when Hagbah is you should bow toward the Torah by Hagbah. I don't know where, you know, whatever. There are different suggestions of where that minhag may have come from. But anyway, I wanted to get into the other Shita. The other Shita says of Rabbi Shimon's Shita, not that Yeshua wrote the last eight psukim, but that the last eight psukim were written by Moshe without Moshe Rabbeinu first repeating them, and they were written bidema. So what does that mean? There are four shitos that I'm aware of as to what that means. First, Rashi, Maseches, Menachos, and Dav Lamed. If you look in source number 6, Rashi writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Umosha Omer Acharav, Kedei Shalitam K'sav V'Koseit. For the rest of Torah, God would say it. Moshe would repeat it to make sure that he doesn't make any mistakes as he's writing it. And then he would write it perfectly. Mikan ve'elach Moshe kosev bedema, but afterwards Moshe would only write it bedema. Ve'lo haya omer acharav merov tsa'aro, but he didn't say it because he was too anguished by it. He was too pained by it. So what does that mean? What's Rashi telling us? Moshe was so sad that he couldn't say the words of the last day of Pesukim. Why was he so sad? You'd think he's making a siyum. He's making a siyum on the greatest book ever written. Best-selling book in the history of humanity. The Bible. What could be better? Why was he sad? Well, he's sad because he's dying. He's not going into Eretz Yisrael. And he knows that he's not going to make it. His life's mission, his life's vision, his life's dream was to make it into Eretz Yisrael. And it made him very, very sad that he wasn't able to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the profound things we learn from the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the important messages we should learn from the life of Moshe Rabbeinu is that even if we're not able to be in Eretz Yisrael, we should be sad that we're not in Eretz Yisrael. It's not okay to say, well, this is a fairly comfortable galus, so I'm totally fine with it. No matter where we are, we have to be sad if it's not Eretz Yisrael. Whether it's practical for us to be there or not. And every person makes their own cheshbonos and has to figure that out. But we have to be sad, at least, that we're not in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very sad. So he couldn't bring himself to say the words. The problem with that Rashi, with Rashi's understanding is, so why is Yachid Korei Osan? And how does this solve the problem that Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been able to write these words, because it would be a lie for him to write these words when he's still alive? Isn't it still a lie? So I'm not really sure if Rashi's solving the problem over here. The Marsha has a slightly different approach. Look at the Marsha, in source number 7, in the Chidush HaGadlus of Maseches Bava Basra, Marsha writes, Rabbi Shimon Kamer Devadei Sefer Torah Shel Moshe Lo Chasro, Afilu Osafes. Certainly the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not even missing a single letter. V'kulahu Kasva Bechayev. He wrote the whole book while he was alive. Meaning, we can't say that Yeshua wrote anything, because that would mean that Moshe didn't give us a complete Torah, says Rabbi Shimon. Umihu lo michsi kishikra, but it's not a problem of michsi kishikra, it's not a problem of Moshe Rabbeinu lying. Dikula sefer Torah ad vayamas Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Omer v'kosev. All the Torah till the last day Pesukim Hashem would say, and Moshe would repeat and write. V'kan min vayamas shina Shakarosh Baruch Omer, Moshe Kosev, Eloye Moshe Omer. And these last eight psukim, Hashem would just say, and Moshe Rabbeinu would just write without repeating it. Umishum hachi lo mechzi kishikra shere lo haya omra b'shas ksiva kamo b'shar kol haTorah. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't doing like he did with the rest of the Torah takes away the concern that it looks like a lie. Since he was careful not to say it, he's making it obvious during these last eight psukim that there's something about these psukim that he's not fully comfortable with, and therefore it's not a sheker. Meaning, Marsha's not even worried that it's a sheker. He's worried about michzi kishikra. What's the difference between sheker and michzi kishikra? Sheker means that you're actually lying. Michzi kishikra is that you're doing something that looks like you're lying. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't lying because he's not writing a book that only has one meaning. He's not writing a book that only the simplest reading of it is what it means. If he were, then it would be a lie to say that he's dead when he's really alive. But, you know, if you ever read the Ramban's Hakdama to his Perush on Chumash, every letter in the Torah is part of Shmos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's part of Hashem's name. It's all connected, and the letters could be rearranged and still be meaningful in some other realm. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was writing wasn't really a lie. It's just that it's mechzi kishikra, because if you're only going to read the pashut reading of the psukim, it looks like a lie. So how do we get around the mechzi kishikra? Moshe Rabbeinu should do something to show that he's not fully comfortable with these eight psukim. What did he do to show that he's not fully comfortable with it? He didn't say them. And by not saying them, he avoided the mechzi kishikra issue.
He could have been so sad, right? Because in order to get the nevuah, it had to be a state of simcha.
Right. So you get nevuah in general, you need to be b'simcha.
Have been so sad over
right. Dema, yeah. Even though Rashi says sadness, then the Marsha adds another point. Says, but still, he's writing something that looks like a lie. So he may not be saying something that looks like a lie, but he's writing something that looks like a lie. He says, no. That's what kosev b'dema means. Kosev b'dema means write with tears. So you know, you could. It's the Emilia Bedelia writing in tears. You know, like when you could say a person's writing in tears, it means that they're in tears, they're crying while they're writing. Marsha says, no, he's writing in tears. He's taking his tears and he's writing with his tears. He's not writing with ink. You got the reference? He's writing with his tears, so he's not actually writing it either. So both in the way that he's saying it, by not saying it in the last episode, and in the way that he's writing it, by writing it in invisible ink and tears, indicates that there's something wrong with these last eight psukim. And that takes away any mechzi kishikra problem. It doesn't look like lying. Now, sheker it definitely isn't anyway, as we said before, the Marsha is assuming. It's only mechzi kishikra, and that mechzi kishikra problem is solved by writing in tears. The gra in Kol Eliyahu's court is saying, no, bedema doesn't mean tears. Dema means completely dimua. When we talk about truma, falling into chulin, so we call it dimua, when the whole, it means it's a mixture. That it's a mixture of chulin and truma, the whole thing is all messed up now. Dema means he wrote it in a mixture. Meaning, he took the letters and he wrote the letters, but he didn't write them in order. He just wrote the letters, because every letter, like the Ramban says in the Sakhtam Tchumash, every letter is important, every letter is part of the Shem Hashem, but he didn't write those letters in the order of Vayam Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, because he couldn't, that would be a lie. So he just wrote the letters, and then Yoshua came and, put the letters in the right place afterwards. Jumbled the letters back. And that way, Moshe wasn't writing any lie, but the whole Torah came to us from Moshe Rabbeinu, because on the mystical level, every single letter came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the final approach, which was mentioned quickly, the Brisker Rav, in his commentary to Menachos, quotes, says, just like Reb Chaim is mechalik between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, based on whether they were written before they were said, or they were said and then written down. He says, Nevi'im is that which is said as a Nevuah, to be orally given, and then they just happen to write it down later, whereas Ksuvim was meant to be given in writing. Ksuvim was not something that was given to Klal Yisrael as a Nevuah, hear ye, everyone listen up, No, it was given in writing. So he says maybe the last eight psukim are different from the rest of the Torah in that they were not meant to be read, only to be written. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say them. He only wrote them in that generation. The door that got the Torah was not supposed to read. It was not supposed to have the last eight psukim read to them, said to them. Rather, it was just written for them so that they'll have the Torah. That's what Kosei Bedema maybe means, says the Brisker Rav. Okay, we really didn't get nearly as far as I want to. Maybe Thursday we'll finish this up. We'll take a vote and tell me if we're on a different topic or to finish up this topic on Thursday. And we'll stop there for today.